guys tonight to do more around the church. You guys do a lot, and we're thankful for it. If you want to do more, that's cool, but that's really not what this is about. But I want to look at this lesson from Jesus about serving. And this story you'll find in John chapter 13. And it's a pretty familiar story. It's where Jesus comes and he washes the disciples' feet. And I will tell you right now, we're not doing foot washing, so no worries. That's not what this story is actually about. There's a lot of churches that still do foot washings, and it's fine. It's an honorable thing if you want to do it. But you'll see as we go through this, the plan here of doing the foot washing was not, Jesus was not establishing this as a tradition that we do in the church. As a matter of fact, in the early church, they didn't do it. Okay, the two ordinances in the church are communion and baptism. Those are the two things Jesus commanded us to do and said, if you're a believer, a follower of me, then you should observe communion. We did that today. And the other is you're supposed to get baptized publicly, make that confession known in front of others. So we're not, I'm not trying to get you to do more in the church, and we're also not doing foot washing. Praise the Lord. That should get an applause or something. I mean, okay, whoever didn't clap is washing feet. Guess what? Christy, she will clap. She's not about washing feet at all. No, not at all. She doesn't even like my feet with socks on. It's pretty bad. So, all right, John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Say, to the end. All right, Jesus loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing now, you do not understand now, but you will after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs to wash only his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Say, if you do them. You're only blessed if you do them, not just for knowing. You got to know it and you got to do it. So Jesus here, we see he's about to head to the cross and he gives this valuable lesson on serving. He knows these men, right? These are the men that he's entrusting this message to as he's going to depart, right? He's going to leave and he's like, these are the guys that are supposed to carry on this message. They're the guys that are supposed to continue on with all that I've trained them, all that I've taught them, all they've seen me do. But to do that, they've really got to know how to serve one another, right? It's this piece, and this isn't the first lesson on serving. He's taught these boneheads a few times about serving one another, and they're still not getting it, even all the way almost till the end here. But Jesus loved them when? To the end, right? So he loves them, even here, even as they're being knuckleheads. And Jesus here, he's the leader, right? They call him teacher, master. They know he's the big dog, right? He's the man in charge, and everyone looks to him for answers, right? When they're confused, you don't ever hear them going up to John and asking John. You don't hear them asking Peter. They're always like, Jesus, what do we do? And they find themselves here with this important role that needs to be filled, foot washing, and nobody is offering to do it, okay? This was kind of a big deal here, foot washing, and we're going to see this in a little bit. So Jesus steps up to do it, and it's good to note here that servanthood is not necessarily about position. It's not necessarily about skill. It's more about attitude, and we see that with Jesus' response and how he works into this situation. But there's so many times where we turn down a great opportunity to serve people because we don't feel like it. There's so many times where we turn down these great opportunities because maybe we're facing something kind of stressful, or my least favorite of all those things is when we turn down opportunities to serve someone because it's not my job, right? And that happens a lot, where it's not my job. And so we're going to learn from Jesus. How did he face this? What did he do in this situation? Right there at the beginning, it tells us again that it's right before the feast of Passover, and he knew that his hour had come to depart, right? He's departing this world to the Father, having loved his own who were with the world, who were in the world. He loved them to the end, and he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Judas already had this placed in his heart, and he's facing the cross. He knows his time has come, and he's still motivated by love. We're going to see that. The love is just rooted right here. And so I imagine if you're in this room today and you were facing death, right? Most of the time we don't get to know it's going to happen like in the next couple days or couple weeks. But sometimes people do. And if you're in that place, you're probably going to want to spend your last days with who? The people that you love the most. And this is where Jesus is at. He's in that spot. He knows my life is about to come to an end, my life on this earth, and I'm spending it with the people that I love the most. Now, during that time, if this was you or me, what would probably happen is we would be comforted by those that love us, right? We would be spending all this time with them, and they would be pouring out their love on us because it's their last days with us. And what we see here with Jesus is that Jesus kind of looks at it a little bit different. He takes this as an opportunity for him to again show how great his love is for them, as he's motivated by this love, because how many of you know that love is why Jesus came in the first place, right? He came because he loves us. He's got to go back, right? He's got to go back to the Father and leave these disciples because he loves them, okay? So it's all about his love. He knows that they still need saving from this world, but he also knows that that can't happen. They can't be saved from sin if he doesn't die. They know that he can't give them eternal life, new life, if he doesn't rise from the grave. And he knows that he can't give them the empowering that they need to live for him if he doesn't go back to heaven so he can send his Spirit. It says he loved them to the end. Loved them to the end. It doesn't mean that this is the end of Jesus' love because he's leaving, he's going to the Father, but that phrase means completely. He loved them completely, okay? Entirely. There's no holes in this love of Jesus. There's not a point where he's going to stop loving them, just like there's not a point where he's going to stop loving you. It's till the end. Till the end of the story. And guess what? The story's not over, right? It's still going. It's still continuing. Praise God for that. And so because he loves, he serves. Now, you can look at this story and you could see it as maybe him kind of expressing gratitude. Like, hey, guys, it's been a good ride. You know, it's been a good last 3 years. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for following me. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for your faithfulness. We could look at it this kind of way. But I'll tell you what, I saw something a little bit different as I read through this and I studied it. Instead of expressing gratitude, I think as we go through this, you'll see that Jesus is expressing something way greater, and that's grace. He's expressing his grace. See, he washed the feet of even Judas. Even Judas, who he knew was going to betray him to the authorities real soon. Now, would Jesus have the right to maybe have a little bit of attitude with Jesus, with Judas, and kind of like, I might wash everybody else's feet, but I don't know about him. You know, would he have the right to maybe give Judas just a little bit of side eye, right? He's watching, he's coming down the line, he's getting close, just kind of looking at him like, uh-huh. Yeah, I know what you're going to do, right? He would have the right, he would be okay, he'd be justified in doing all of that. But what was he motivated by? Love. He was motivated by his love. He was motivated to serve out of love. And when we think about the love of Christ, we've got to remember that this love is an undeserved love. This love is an unending love. This love is unconditional. It's unselfish love. And so for you or me, we could look at Judas as we're working down the line and be like, I'm probably going to punch Judas in the mouth when I get down there, right? I mean, we might have a little bit of something in us that's like, at the very least, if I can control myself, if I can actually work out my flesh here and I can function by the Spirit, I'm going to have self-control to like maybe just give him a smile and a nod and skip by, right? But Jesus doesn't do that. He even shows him the same treatment that he shows everybody else. This is grace, people. This is grace. He didn't deserve it. Jesus is showing his servanthood. Matthew 20, verse 27 to 28 tells us, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay? This is one of the last messages that Jesus is reinforcing here. Serve one another. Serve people, because that's what leaders do. And we're all leaders. Everybody in this room is a leader. Okay? What leaders do is they serve one another. In verse 3, it says that Jesus, knowing the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Okay, this is good right here, okay? The time has come. Remember, it said the hour has come. It's here. It's time. Jesus is facing the cross, and right here it says that he knows that the Father has given everything into his hands. This is really significant. He knows that the Father has given everything into his hands. It means right now he's got the power. He knows that as he goes and he defeats the cross, he knows the power, the authority that is going to come with that. He knows that he's going to be victorious over death and the grave. Now, don't let that belittle the suffering and the pain and the anguish that he went through in his physical body, because it absolutely was torturous. I'm just telling you that he knows the end game. He knows the Father has given all this into my hands. I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious. It's going to work out. And does this change the way that he acts? Do you see it change him as a person? Do you see him begin to behave differently? No, we don't. Not at all. He continues to be the same Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. He knew his place. Okay, if God has committed all things to your hands, you are the man. And yet, he's so confident in who he is that he kneels down and washes the feet of all of his students, all of those who serve under him. He didn't have anything to prove here. He could have easily appointed one of them. I mean, thinking back on it now, I'd probably be like, Judas, guess what, dude? Go get the bucket, right? You know, you're going to wash everybody's feet. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't have anything to prove. He loves, so he serves. And I love how John Maxwell put this. If you remember, what did Jesus do? He took off his garments and he put what around his waist? A towel, okay? This is what John Maxwell said. One of the great leadership teachers, if you don't know who he is. He said, the insecure are into titles. The secure are into towels. That's deep, okay? And that's this is exactly what he's referring to as Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. If you're insecure, you're into a title, right? I'm the Son of God, or I'm the guy sitting at Jesus' right hand, or whatever your position was there, but the secure are into towels. It's like, you know what? I got this. I'll get on my hands and feet. I'll do the washing. It's no big deal. And it says in verse 4 that Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured the water into the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Okay, so it's customary here for, as guests would come into a house, it's customary for some kind of servant to be there to wash the feet of those who are visiting. Okay, you got to remember, it's quite a different culture. They don't have the shoes that we have. They had sandals. They lived in a dry, dusty, dirty climate, and your feet were going to be filthy. Like, how many of you have ever mistakenly wore sandals somewhere, and you're like, I had no idea it was this dry and dirty, and you get home and how nasty your feet are, and even the sandals themselves, right? They need cleaned. They need washed. This was daily for them. This is how it was. They didn't have the closed-toed shoes that we have where their feet didn't get dirty. As a matter of fact, it was kind of the point where you walk in the house and you take off your sandals and your feet might actually be dirtier than the sandals you were wearing. Okay, so it was a big deal to do foot washing. There would be somebody in charge of that, some kind of servant. And at this meal, there was no servant. And Jesus sees an opportunity. He sees a teaching opportunity right here. You know what he didn't do is he didn't wait for someone else to volunteer. Some of us would do that. It'd be like, somebody needs to wash feet. Right? Now I'm going to wait them out. Somebody will say yes. Somebody will be like, all right, guys, I'll do it. But it's not going to be me. Right? Somebody will do it. How many of you would be that person that might be looking around like, dude, I did it 3 years ago. It's your turn. Right? I mean, I was going to do it that one time, and then it snowed, and everybody had to stay home. So, you know, but I was going to do it that day. So now it's your turn. Like, that was, I did it, right? Because I was willing, even though it wasn't necessary. These disciples, if you wanted, is anybody curious what they were doing right here at this dinner table? Luke gives us an idea here. If you line up these Passover feasts, and you look over in Luke chapter 22, it tells us what they were doing. They were busy discussing this very important matter. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Wow, perfect timing, guys. Some foot washing needs to be done. Jesus tells you, multiple times that basically, if you want to be first, you got to be last, and the one who serves is the greatest. And here we need something done that the lowliest servant in the whole food chain here, the lowliest servant, what he should be doing, it's up for grabs. And you're arguing about who's the greatest. You know, he doesn't say it because this is not how Jesus works, but he shows it. He stands up and he shows him who's the greatest, right? Now, this wasn't his motivation. His motivation was love, but it's kind of like, while they're all discussing this and they're all arguing who's the greatest, Jesus, I just see him just, he finishes his meal, wipes his little beard off with his napkin, sets it down, gets up, and is like, putting the towel on, getting the basin. And I wonder how many of them even noticed what he was doing while they're standing there arguing about which one of us is the best. And Jesus is kind of like, I'm just getting ready to show you, to teach you guys a lesson. You guys are getting ready to learn something today. No servant, and they're arguing who's the greatest. And as he gets up and he gets ready, pours this water into the bucket, all right, begins to wash their feet, he shows them the answer to their question. Who is the greatest? It's the one who's willing to serve. It's the one who gets up and serves all the rest, even when it's not his position. Even when he's the most important man in the room, and somebody else should be washing his feet. He's not about that. He's about, this is a job that needs to be done, and I'm here to demonstrate my love for you people, and I will do it. Verse 6 and 7, it says that he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered him and said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. You will know after this. See, Peter was a little dense sometimes, but I think he knew that Jesus was washing his feet because that's what he was doing. But he says it like, are you washing my feet? Kind of like this isn't supposed to be happening. What you're doing is not something that the master should be doing. This is something that's reserved for a lowly servant. I mean, this is where Peter's going here. He's kind of like, are you washing my feet? Kind of like, dude, what are you doing? Like, knock it off, okay? Why are you doing this? Because what Jesus is doing is not socially acceptable. How many of you know that Jesus did a lot of things that weren't socially acceptable? You know, in this society right here, right now, where we got to be politically correct and we got to be careful not to offend anybody, you know what? Jesus didn't care about any of that. This right here would have greatly offended people. It would have greatly offended people that why is he washing their feet? Where's the servant? Somebody would have been snapping their finger, have been like, run down the road and, you know, grab Bob's servant from down the road, see if they're available. Somebody needs to get somebody who's nobody to come here and wash these feet. Because it's not right for somebody of any kind of status or even just middle of the road person to be doing this. It's for the lowliest servant, the one at the bottom. And I don't know about you guys, but has anybody ever worked someplace where the lowest person on the totem pole gets all the crappy jobs, right? And it's the worst. Like, you can't wait until someone else gets hired. You're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to do that anymore. I've been waiting for like 3 years. I've been the lowest person on the totem pole, all right? But there's a lot of jobs like that, that they work like that, where it's like the lowest person, you know? So you would have to be the foot washer in this case. And we see this job and we see who should be doing it, the lowliest of all the servants, and the peers couldn't even wash each other's feet. This would have been just as wrong if Peter would have done it, okay? Socially, it would have been just as wrong, let alone their master doing it. And so Peter says, Lord, are you washing my feet? Are you washing my feet? He follows it up and he says, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus says to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. See, Peter has this issue here that a lot of us have as well. He had this issue that he had a little bit of pride. Right? He had a little bit of pride in him, and it keeps him from receiving what Jesus is giving out for just a moment here. Jesus is like, I'm here to wash your feet. And Peter's like, why are you doing this? And Jesus is like, you don't understand right now, but you will. And you think that'd be it right there. But then Peter's like, no, you're not going to do it. Like, you're not going to wash my feet. I don't know about you, but when Jesus says, just trust me, you'll understand later. Most of us would think from the outside looking in that we would be like, okay, doesn't make sense, but whatever. No, Peter gets a little more resistance because his pride begins to puff up there. And it's, I'm not going to receive what Jesus is giving out here. Now, what Peter didn't do is Peter didn't say, Master, I'll take the towel. I'll take the towel. Don't worry about it. You shouldn't be doing this. He just doesn't want Jesus doing it. He's like, you shouldn't be doing this. Not that I'm willing to take your place, but again, we could send somebody down the road to get someone else. His master is trying to wash his feet, and Peter says no. This made me think about how often are we on the receiving end of someone trying to serve us, someone trying to bless us, someone trying to do something for us. And in our pride, we stand up and we're like, no, you don't need to do this for me. I got this. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. I don't need that from you. And sometimes we need to just swallow our pride and let somebody serve us. I was reminded of this time that there was a lady that was trying to, I think she was just trying to give me a few bucks for something that I did. And I said, no, I don't need it. Like, I knew that she didn't really have it. I knew that it was probably a lot bigger deal, you know, 10 bucks or whatever was a lot bigger deal to her than it was to me. And I'm like, no. And she's like, just take it. And I'm like, no. She's like, come on, you did something for me. I want to, you know, bless you for doing that. And I'm like, no, that's okay. Then what she said to me, really, I have not forgotten it yet. And this has been like probably 7, 8 years ago. She said, you don't get to rob me of a blessing. Take it. And I said, okay, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. And you know what? She was right. She was right. So I took it and I said, thank you. And it's like, she was trying to bless me. You know, I did something for her, not expecting anything in return. She's trying to do something for me. And I'm like, I know that's a hardship for you. Like, don't worry about it. I don't need it. And she's like, no, you don't get to rob me of a blessing. I want to give. I want to do something for you. Jesus said, he's quoted in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Don't let your pride steal that blessing from someone that's trying to serve you. And this is kind of where Peter's at here. You know, he's like, no, you're not supposed to do this. Now, once Peter realizes Jesus was washing his feet because of the love that he had for them, he's like, Peter, he's like, if you're mine, like, you got to let me bless you. Like, if you belong to me, you'll receive this blessing that you have for me. And I think that's so such a desperate word for the Church of America today. That if you belong to Jesus, if you are his, then you will receive the blessing that he has for you. Like, he has something for the church, he has something for his people, but so often we don't want it because it conflicts with social status, it conflicts with what people say should be, conflicts with just how we want to live our lives, what makes us comfortable. And we say, no thanks, you can keep it. You can keep it right now. I don't need that. But Peter sees here that it just comes out of a desire that Jesus is just demonstrating his love for these people by serving them. And once Peter realizes that, right, he's kind of like, all right, pour it on, right? Not only my feet, but my hands and my head too. And when I first read that, I thought, man, Peter, you're kind of selfish. Like, now you want a little extra? Like, you want a little bit more? You want him to do more for you than what he's done for everybody else? But you know what? If you know anything about Peter, if you've read through the Gospels, Peter's one of those people that he's just a little extra, right? With everything. He just takes everything a little far and goes a little bit over the top, like the Transfiguration on the Mount when he wanted to build, like, the 3 tabernacles, right? For Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He's like, can I build 3 tabernacles? We'll stay here forever. You know, this is great. He's just a little exuberant, just a little bit like, okay, once he's in, he's all the way in. There's no holding him back. Okay, so Peter's just like, all right, I think he had good intentions here. I think it's, you know what? Jesus, you're right. You're just trying to show me your love, and I want all of it that I can have. I want everything that you have to offer. I want the fullness. If you want to love me, here I am. You know, every bit of it. Pour it out. Jesus goes on and he says to him in verse 10, he says, he who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Remember earlier I said that I didn't think that this was an act of appreciation, but an act of grace. And the reason I believe that is because grace is what? It's kind of a favor, or it's some kind of blessing that you don't deserve, okay? His disciples didn't need this full cleansing. If you look all the way back in the first verse or two, it said that they were what? They were his own. These people already belong to Jesus. They're already his followers. They're already part of his flock. And they don't need that full cleansing, right? But this washing was an example of his grace. He shows us something here, that even after being cleansed by the blood, by the sacrifice he made on the cross, you know what? We still are going to get a little bit dirty, and Jesus is always there for a foot washing. He's always there for just a little bit of cleansing that we need. 1 John 1:9, we looked at this a couple months back. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? People who have taken a bath and they're clean, they still might go out on a dusty road in their sandals and get their feet a little bit dirty. They may not necessarily have to come back and take a whole shower. You just need a little cleansing, just your feet washed. And this is like Jesus saying, there is grace for you. There's grace for you here. When you've been saved and changed and transformed by the blood of the Lamb, and then, you know what, you go out and your feet get a little bit dirty, you know what, there's grace that covers that. There's grace that covers that, and you can be forgiven and clean. But he says, also, you must do this for others. You must do this for others. I don't know how many Judases you have in your life. People that you may sit at a group with a table of people, and you look around and it's like everybody but that guy, right? Everybody but that one. And so you know what? Jesus says, listen, I've shown you grace. Why? So you can show it to others. Don't forget, there's nothing that God gives us that's just for us. Everything that he does for us and in us is for the sake of his kingdom, which involves sharing the gospel with other people. Matthew 10:8, he told us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then he said, freely you have received, freely give. Right? Whatever he's given you, you're obligated to then give that to other people. Freely give grace, because God offers us grace upon grace upon grace. He even offers it to those who are unclean. Right now, he clarified there. There's one of you, he says, there's somebody here that's not clean. This is the person that they need more than a foot washing. And this is Judas. But you know what? He still offers the grace to Judas. He still offers it to him, saying, I can make you clean if you will let me. Verse 16, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Say, if you do them. All right, you're blessed if you do them, if you do these things today. If you would stand and for a moment, I want to consider a few of the things that we looked at here. And you know what? For you, there may be one thing here in this lesson that kind of speaks to you. And you're like, I identify with that. That's me. There may be a whole list of things. But that's why we want to take this time at the end. We just want to see, what does God want to focus on in our lives today? So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. And just some of the things that were in this story, some of the things we see Jesus do is, you know, first of all, are you motivated by love to serve others? You know, there's so many times where it's just obligation. It's just what I've got to do. It is my position. It is my job. But you know what? Even in that, are we motivated in love? Because we're told to let all that we do be done in love. that's you today, maybe you need to ask God to work on your heart and give you that heart that's motivated strictly out of love instead of need or necessity or condemnation. Are you secure in who you are enough to even do those tasks that are beneath you? Because I think this is a tremendous thing that we need to wrap our minds around. We need to have God work in our lives, is that there is no task, there is no job that's beneath us. It's he who is last is first. He who is the servant of all is the greatest of them all. Are you one who initiates this servant leadership where you see that something needs done and you don't just wait for someone else to do it, but instead you say, you know what? I'll do that because, again, it's not below me. I'm motivated by love. I want to serve. I want to help. I want to bless. If you've got all those things under control, you feel like you're operating in all those, maybe this is the big one for you, is can you sit back and relax and receive from somebody else when they want to serve you, when they want to bless you, when they want to maybe even do your job for you to give you a break? Can you receive that? Can you put your pride to the side for just a few moments to receive a blessing that someone is trying to pour out on you? And then if Jesus is giving out, if he's spreading out his love, if he's handing it out left and right, I'm going to come around, I'm going to wash everybody's feet, I'm going to give them a little bit of love, show them how much I care. Would you be the one to be like Peter and say, Lord, now that I understand it, God, I want more? Would you be the one to say, Lord, not just my feet, but God, my hands and my head? Lord, I just want to be completely engulfed in your love. I want it to be overwhelming. I want it to just consume me. I want the fullness today. And if you receive that, would you be willing to give it to others? Would you be willing to pour it out on all that you know? Would you be willing to do for others just as God did for you? And the biggest part of that is showing them grace. No, they don't deserve it, but neither do we. No, they didn't earn it, but neither do we. You know what? It might not change anything about the situation, except that you reflect the sun. That you might show some light right there in that situation, in that person's life, that someday, somehow, may bring them back around and point them toward Jesus. Jesus said, I did not come to serve, but to be served and give my life a ransom for many. We like these titles like, I'm a child of God. Rightfully so. We like the title like, I'm a child of the King. We like these titles like, I'm a joint heir to the throne, that I'm an overcomer. But what we're to be at our core, one of the greatest of all these titles is servant. One of the greatest of all these titles is servant. So today, if you declare that you are a servant, if you declare you are ready to serve God, you're ready to do whatever it is that he desires of you, with your heads down and your eyes closed, I just want you to lift your hands in the air. Father, I thank you and praise you for those who are in this place who say, I'm a servant. Those who say, I'm here to serve the King. I'm here to worship at his feet. I'm here to live my life for him. I'm here to hand over the reins. Lord, I've tried and tried and tried. And you know what? I've tried to live for myself. I've tried to do it my way and it hasn't worked. And so today, as my arms are in the air, what this represents is surrender. It represents me surrendering and saying, Lord, you know what? I'm done trying to jockey for position in life. I'm done trying to just be something based on world standards, but today I just declare that I'm nothing and that you are everything. And that as I'm a servant of yours, that it's the highest position of honor that a person could have. And I just ask you to use me today, God. I ask you to use me to change this world. Lord, use me. Start here. Start with us. We need your spirit. We need you, your love to engulf us, to just drive us to do things for your name and for your glory and not for our own. And so we submit to you today, Lord. We ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close with a time of worship and